Hey folks, this is John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I literally record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach just outside of Washington, D.C. 4 days a week I'm driving in, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Mondays I typically am teaching from home. We do a virtual class on Mondays and then the split cohort on the other days through the week. But I think a good time to do some brain dumping and reflecting is on my way into work or my way back from work. Because there's a lot of time spent just in the car with my thoughts about the craziness that this year is and maybe ways we can make it better and easier for teachers pretty much everywhere. So each week, new episodes drop. If you like, feel free to like or subscribe. Leave a comment. It does help other people find the show. And then if you want to talk to me further, I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. That's Meehan like my last name and EDU like teaching. Because I do want to get better at this teaching thing, and I try to listen to teachers who are doing the same thing. I don't think any of us have all the answers, but I do think that together we might come closer to the answer than we think. And so, hit me up on Twitter. And new episodes, like I said, drop every Monday. But in the meantime, if you want to get a hold of me, I wrote a book. It's called Adrenaline Rush. It's all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. That's Adrenaline with E, like educational ed, Adrenaline Rush. All the stuff you find on that website for the book is at the same site, adrenalinerush.com. It's templates and resources, downloadables, and all that social stuff that you can take and remix and share in any way you like. And it's totally free. If you've enjoyed the book, that's amazing. If you listen to this podcast, thank you. I appreciate it. I think that teachers are hard-pressed for time and always in a tough spot when it comes to cash. We don't get paid nearly enough. So I try to offer as much as I can for free on my site. So do feel free to check that one out. But today I want to talk about other sites and other news and other updates because last week on Monday, we made a thing. We kind of upended our professional development world. At least I hope to have done that. Last Monday, if you missed the podcast, it was a good one. I recommend you go back and check it out. It might even be better than this one. It was double length, though. It was like 30 minutes. I announced with my Twitter feed and my blog and podcast the launch of a project I've been working on behind the scenes for about a year that we call emc2learning.com. EMC2Learning, like the Einstein formula, right? E equals mc squared. And the idea is that we are trying to engage students at the speed of life and engage teachers at the speed of life. The idea that what we're doing is moving so fast, it's very hard for us to keep up and to feel like we are facing an engagement gap with ourselves and our students, our professional practice, and the work we're trying to do to just keep up. It's like playing whack-a-mole. So about a year ago, in March of last year, Michael Matera and I started working quietly, privately, behind the scenes on this project. Michael is a sixth grade teacher. He's a speaker and a presenter, and he's the author of a book called Explore Like a Pirate, which is all about gamification and game-inspired course design. And Michael and I spent the past year kind of in incubation working on this project, which is super cool. And now it's out there for the whole wide world to access. So last Monday, we rolled it out. And you probably heard on the podcast, I kind of gave the deep dive about everything that the site has to offer. And basically, like, it's like a Netflix-style streaming service for student engagement. So you log in as a member, and you have access to hundreds of templates, or like 200-plus templates in there to get started. And all the templates are written for any course, any content area, and they're all content agnostic. So it's not like Teachers Pay Teachers where you have like a worksheet on the Civil War or a test on the Scarlet Letter. Instead, you see like instructional stems or like jump off points on ways to make a X more engaging. And the X could be like a close reading activity, or the X could be a Socratic seminar, or the X could be a test or a project or a quiz, or the X could be something like a simple homework activity. And what we've done is we've really leveraged into the smart science behind some serious pedagogy, and we've done the work on the back end. So you as a teacher doesn't have to, or don't have to. We've probably, for each of the resources on the site, leaned in conservatively on the five-hour mark, more than likely about 40 hours plus on every resource on the site that we have to offer. And we have been, like I said, at this for a full year behind the scenes. But what we did is we offered pretty much your gamification guide, your 101 level student engagement guide, because what gamification does so well is it gives a sense of team, it gives a sense of mastery, it gives a sense of purpose, it gives a sense of achievement, it gives a sense of progress. And that's a really good thing for our students to help with that social emotional element, because they feel like they're part of something bigger than themselves. They're seeing signs of growth towards a clear goal, and they're starting to see all of that tread under their tire and say, hey, I'm getting way stronger than I used to have been. There's that increasing difficulty level. It's what good games do. There's that level of playful participation, that spirit of cooperative collaboration. So you and your buddies, even though you're trying to, quote, beat each other in the game, you're all agreeing to sit down at the table together and play. So we've taken the kind of the serious science behind some playful pedagogy and given some 200 lesson stems to help you get started. And when we launched, we also had video on the site, like step-by-step explainers to walk you through it. We have lesson flows, lesson plans, so ways to adapt and edit this stuff. And of course, the templates themselves, which then you can pop and swap in your content with the default content that's there. All different themes, like ninjas and pirates, medieval stuff, adventure, like Indiana Jones type stuff, survivor, space, you know, pretty much any of these sort of things that tap into the zeitgeist, the type of cool, adventure-y, you know, Hollywood blockbuster type feels that our students have, but all with original artwork, all with original, like license-free storylines. So we're not like just ripping off Iron Man or ripping off Tomb Raider. We're actually creating original stories, original, you know, adventures, so to speak. And so if you pop and swap out our stuff with your stuff, you don't have to worry about violating any sort of copyrights. We encourage teachers, it's all written as open source, so you have access to everything. And you download it, and then you put in your questions or your course content. And it's not like, hey, everybody, let's care about the latest adventures of Captain America. Instead, it's like, we are a team of elite superheroes working to solve a top secret government project, right? That's not like Captain America artwork. That's not DC artwork. That's nothing like you know, something that would be, as a teacher, something you have to be scared of. And the beauty of it, I hope, is that what we're doing in that is modeling what good instruction should look like or could look like for teachers who are interested in leaning into these game-based worlds. For our students, they can see, hey, everything you're seeing here, it's all from paid content creators. It's all from people who have either drawn these assets themselves or paid, you know, compensated artists to create those assets. I think that's a really powerful thing to model. Hey, here's what we do and how and why we do it. And that helps our students see the way that we kind of expect them to, quote, cite their sources and to do their annotated bibliographies, right? To say, you can't just grab a picture off the internet and call it yours. Yes, information is freely available to everyone, but that doesn't mean that the information itself was free. So that's something we're really proud of at the DNA of the startup company. But I wanted to kind of circle back to that and talk about modeling, because when we launched, we figured we'd have maybe a dozen, maybe two or three dozen people join the site. Our conservative best guess was like, hey, we'll call it a real success if we get about 50 people to sign up. As of this recording, this is going out 1 week later, we had that in like the first hour. So I was like, uh-oh, this is like a big deal, like a something. And over the course of the next week, we welcomed an additional 200 plus people into the site. So like, there are a lot of people already inside, which really helps that community of people to model and grow off of one another. We have discussion forums, and we have like members-only live streams and planning events where people can dial in and just have these types of conversations like we have on the podcast. We just talk. And again, the beauty of it is, like I said, I am a working classroom teacher. I'm doing it during the day, and I record all of this stuff in the car or at my house on the weekends. And then I make myself available at nights, on weekends, to put work into the site. As far as I know, as long as I can, I'd love to remain a classroom working teacher and an instructional coach at the place where I currently am. And it gives me not only credibility in the space, but it gives me empathy for the type of things that teachers are doing, right? We need to do a better or a different job than what we have done or are doing. And it's not because we're trying to do it poorly. It's not because we're, you know, not giving our honest or our best effort. It's just because the system is moving at the speed of life. And when there's a coronavirus, or when there's, you know, there's an engagement crisis, or when there's access or equity issues, we have to think about what we're modeling to our students. And that level of engagement then hopefully is reflected back to them from us and vice versa. We can't just hammer through tired worksheets. You know, Michael and I are very, very strong in that feeling that this isn't like just a rip-off worksheet thing. I think so many times when you go to something like Teachers Pay Teachers, I think we've all been there in a pinch, right? Like, you head to the site and you're like, oh, I just need something for third period. Yeah, this is a worksheet on fine print, done. And that worksheet does not inspire joy or curiosity. It might have some cute clip art, maybe some dinky pictures on the top, but I do wonder sometimes about the quality control, because I've seen too many times on TPT things that are clearly in copyright violation, which again shows students this half-hearted version of a teacher showing up for work. It's then giving them something that you did not create, didn't look like you created it, didn't have your own personal touch, your personal flair, and then expecting them to give their honest best. Like, there's a disconnect there, right? There's something that says, I need to hold you to a higher standard than I hold myself to. I just got to get this done, but you have to take this seriously. And so the goal in the project and the stuff we've made, like I said, is to keep that idea of teacher at the center of their lesson design and the student-centered experience in the heart of the classroom. So each of these activities is designed to kind of be content open, and you as the teacher have to drop in a little bit. You gotta like Betty Crocker it a little bit, right? You pick up the box cake. You still have to put your own eggs or your own oil in. When they first sold the Betty Crocker cakes, they used to just put all that dehydrated stuff right in the box, and they didn't sell so well. It's the same reason why people suggest if you have a yoga mat under your bed versus if you have a gym membership, one of those things is likely to sit and collect dust. The other one is likely to inspire you to get up and make real change. And the answer is because you have skin in the game, right? You're putting in a little bit of yourself into it. You have to show up for yourself. You have to make that trip. You have to make that effort. And it does help to model to our learners. They too have to kind of follow that same suit. Nothing's easy. Nothing's off the shelf. Nothing's a cheap photocopy. True, when you have access to the site and you have access for a year when you join as a member, you have the ability to dial in for forever, and then you can use that lesson again and again and again. But hopefully we've provided enough resources that you'd be like, there's so much in here. There's only like 90 days left in this school year, and we have over 200 resources in there. Some of them are like 4 or 5, 3 day, 7 day resources. Like, there's no way you could possibly use all of that in a single year. So the aspirational best is that we keep moving forward. We keep feeling curious. We keep wanting to come back because there's always more work to be done. We want to see that in our students as well. But I want to talk about modeling quickly because I know that listening to teacher communities is really important, but also listening to our diverse learner populations and in our classrooms, making sure that there's a place at the table for everyone. What good games do so well is they really say, I don't care whether you're black or white, rich or poor, gay or straight, male, female. When you're here at the table, we're all on the same team because we've all agreed in this moment to enter in this magic circle together and for a moment pretend that we are real estate tycoons on the Atlantic City boardwalk. Or to pretend that we are settlers of this place called Catan, far, far away, where we're trying to collect resources. Or to try to work together as a team of scientists and structural engineers and you know, researchers and government officials to solve this pandemic crisis in a board game like Pandemic. And then the beauty of it is, all of the stuff that you bring to the table kind of disappears at the door. You check yourself, and then you become whatever this thing needs to be. And it really does, as long as you can pass the age level requirements, welcome all different learner profiles to the space. So for that reason, we wanted to make some changes to our site too, and it happened in the DNA of it. And I think it's important to highlight this week, so I'm going to do that as well. I realize there's a lot of like the heavy philosophy about how and why these games are designed, but I've seen far too often things are like, quote, a simulation about like the Civil War, and they're really offensive when you look at it. We've probably all seen those horror stories online, and our goal is never to replicate real-life trauma. Our goal, rather, is to use playful learning to help students make serious sense of some really hard stuff. And that means, at times, adapting elements of game or gameplay that don't actually look like rolling of dice or playing of cards. Sometimes it's just a matter of like thinking about your age requirements and making sure that it's an accessible game that has all of the people at the table in mind. Like I said, all the different play styles. So one of the things we're most proud of is this week we partnered with a web transcription service called Rev. And what they do is they do a real-life human transcribes closed captions for every video that you would upload to them. It's a paid service that we take on that cost ourselves. But what I like about it is an actual real-life person being compensated for the video transcription because our site is full of hours and hours and hours of step-by-step explainer walkthrough videos. This spring, we're going to launch our micro courses, so you can actually like do a deep dive into Socratic seminar, for example, or a full-blown like hour-long modular step-by-step-by-step ways to walk through how to add game-like elements in items and badges into your classroom. And again, you move at your own pace, like Masterclass, right? That's awesome. But again, as a diverse learner profile goes, we should model as a professional development organization what good PD looks like. First of all, it's self-paced. It's not everyone learns at the same pace. It's you move at your own pace. Second of all, it's bite-sized and micro and modular. So if you are already good at stage one, stage two, and stage three, you can skip up to stage four. If you want to do a quick refresh and double back down, you always have the ability to do that. That's one of the things we've learned in the pandemic is not every student is going to learn at the same pace, and nor do they sit down and learn in the same time frame. Hey guys, you have a week to get this done. Some students would pace it out a little bit every day for five. Somebody else might say, I'm going to wait till the night before and I'm going to binge learn. As long as you can get through the content and get through like the challenges that get you to that next level, we don't need you to take a test on level seven work because we assume by the time you're at level seven, you have understood levels one, two, three, four, five, and six. It's very much the same principle of how like the Mario games work, right? You're at the end of the game. They don't need to give you a test on how you got there. We presume if you are taking on harder content, you are ready for that content and the type of challenges or skills that the game or that level would provide, you're ready because you've been spending the entire time inside of that course to do that work. And then simply by being a part of that work, you have the ability to complete that work or achieve that work. And again, because you always have the ability to go back, it's micros, that's amazing for a second thing. But the third thing, again, like I said, is about modeling. I think that ableism is awful. I think inclusion is essential. And so much of what we see as teachers is bad PD to tell us how to be better at PD. So Michael and I are committed to the idea of doing this thing right from the ground floor as we build this community. So it's not just listening to our diverse community of learners and teachers inside of our discussion forums, but it's also presenting videos that, without even making a big stink of it, just so happen to be closed caption. Because you never know who's in the room, and you should, in all cases and purposes, every classroom should have accommodations built in. Everyone should be invisible in their scaffolding. I say often that, like, I work at a Catholic school, so, like, every class in a Catholic school should be a religion class. It shouldn't beat somebody over the head with, and now we stop all learning. We just talk about the faith, right? I think every class should be a literacy class. I think every class should have numeracy skills built into it. Likewise, every class should have special education accommodations built into it. So it's not a big deal if you learn differently, and it's not a big stink if you have dyslexia or you have dyscalculia, dysgraphia, or you're having a hard time processing, or you may be deaf or hard of hearing. Like, no big deal. We got you. You don't have to walk in embarrassed or ashamed and feel like, this isn't ever built for me. The best games of the whole wide world. I talk about Pokemon a lot, right? Our kids love Pokemon. And there's so much research to say that like black and white and rich and poor kids, older and younger kids, all seem to understand this incredible vast world of these complex taxonomies that Pokemon creates. So you have this character involves into that character, but it's a water type Pokemon versus a fire type. Like, it's effectively a periodic table of elements with thousands of different variations therein. And every student in the United States has the whole thing memorized, regardless of their age or their background, their gender, sexual orientation, their faith. How can we create a school or a classroom experience that likewise feels easy and accessible to people from all walks of life? And that starts with modeling when we have, hey, this is an engaging experience that was built for you, so you can put your own twist on it. It's not an off-the-shelf product. Two, it's modular so you can move it at your own pace. I think that's really important. Three, you as an individual learner can go back and learn again, or you can go up and move forward, watch at your own speed. And again, always have access again and again and again to all of those resources. And four, in the DNA of it, every student who has access to this will have the ability to read it and or hear it. That's important because it says no matter how you learn, whether you read through your ears or whether you read through your eyes, maybe some combination of both, this place is here for you. This game is here for you. Like if you were to come into your favorite theme park, you don't want to have to feel awkward when you ask for accommodations for wheelchairs. It should just be there. Likewise, with our learners in different accommodations, they should not have to ask for extra time. The game itself, the school itself, should say, when you're here, you're family. I got it. We've already accounted for those very basic levels of what Maslow's does. And that's one of the things I love about working on, like I said, at my own school, my Catholic school, is that because we are a faith community, you don't have to be Catholic to go to our school, but like we do talk a lot about that idea of like faith and family and togetherness and trying to make students feel that when they're here, it's not just to get the school done from 8 o'clock to 3 o'clock, but it's to take part in those social elements. It's to take part in those service elements, take part in those spiritual elements, those opportunities to say, hey, even though I'm not Catholic, to give an hour of my life a week in service of someone who is not me, or in recognition that I am not the biggest thing on this planet, will invariably make me a more empathetic, more balanced, and ultimately a more worldly aware human being. That's a good thing. I think gamification gets a very bad rap, and Michael and I are in lockstep on this one, because it's done poorly and it's done gimmicky. Like they just add points to a scavenger hunt as an example, and they say, well, now we're gonna do, I gamified my class. I'm like, No, you played a game in your class. Big difference. Big difference. Gamification, when done right, adapts the most meaningful, the most authentic, the most motivational elements of what great games do. It creates a user-centered design that makes the people who are playing that game feel like they are a part of something that is special. It makes you want to come back and play it again. It rewards authentic choice. It encourages you to take risks in a risk-rich environment where you don't know what doors are going to open until you kind of just try some stuff. You jump down some pits, you fall, you try again. It offers specific, actionable feedback delivered really fast, and you say, okay, I'm kind of hooked on this. I want to give it another shot. And it rewards correct answers with increasingly difficult questions. So when everyone's like, ah, you just play games, I'm like, that's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is we have designed our user at the center of every instructional activity we have created. That's not just to make it fun and fluffy. Rather, it's to tap into their own flow state to make them want to work much, much harder. If a student feels safe and supported, if every learner at your table feels like they're a part of a team, there is no telling where that upside can go. There really is no limit to the type of trajectory that they can achieve. And that's the goal of what we're doing. We're trying to change the world. We say that at EMC2, we are trying to offer engagement at the speed of life. And I don't think it's a bad idea, whether you're stealing ideas from Tiger King or Among Us, Fortnite, Mario Brothers, Monopoly, Settlers of Catan. If there's things about those things that make us willingly part with our time or our money, then why don't we take things that are real meaningful, like English, math, science, history, world languages, physical education, business, and get students to get hooked on that stuff, just like they can binge all of that other, you know, ephemeral junk that exists in the world for distractions, but really not for intentional purpose. Our goal is to play with that purpose and to get students to tap into their passions, authentic choice in the classroom, and say, hey, this is really cool. And it never felt like learning. And they learned more and they remembered more as a direct result of the process. Anyways, that's the talk for today. A long one. Thank you guys for tuning in. Certainly more to come as we have more and more rolling out on the site. We'll have like courses, community events. We're running a promotion right now if you're a member of the site at our ground floor level pre-launch. So you can lock in a lifetime rate annually of like half of where the actual full-time rate is. We'd love to have you. Like I said, there's closing on 300 members of the site as of this recording a week later. We're not some big tech company. We're not some sort of, you know, publishing outfit. We're working classroom teachers who are trying to figure out how we need to do this better and offer a community service that we have the ability to connect and collect and get better together, change the world. God bless you. Stay safe. Please stay home. Wear a mask. If you need me, hit me up on Twitter at MeehanEDU or find me or Michael on emc2learning.com. You can check that hashtag out on Twitter as well. And we'll be back on Monday with more to come. Thanks again.